Concerned about the increasing losses being suffered in the Pacific, Roosevelt has come to press Stalin to join the war effort against Japan. Stalin has made Roosevelt come all the way out to the Crimea, which takes a toll on the ailing president's health. He is drawn and emaciated. He barely has the strength to hold out his arm. Roosevelt smokes cigarette after cigarette. He is very frail. He will pass away a few weeks later. His main priority is Japan. At the same time, he does not have the strength to oppose Stalin, who liberates but also occupies the Baltic states, Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Poland, Silesia, and Prussia. And there is no way to make him leave. The only one who tries to negotiate is Churchill. Finally, he gets Stalin to promise to hold free elections in Poland, a promise that will never be kept, and to give up Greece, which will lead to civil war. The Greek communist partisans will rise up, and Stalin will let them be massacred. One of the goals of this conference is the founding of the Organization of the United Nations, which will soon be convened in San Francisco. The UN's mission will be to seek a peaceful settlement for all disputes and to protect human rights. This picture heralds the beginning of the Cold War. The war in the Pacific continues. The Marines raise the American flag on top of Mount Suribachi, the volcano that dominates the island of Iwo Jima. The battle took the lives of 7,000 Americans and 20,000 Japanese. It is now possible for the Boeing B-29 Superfortress bombers, taking off from Iwo Jima and other islands in the Pacific, to reach Japan. Humans have invented something even more vicious than the phosphorus used in Dresden: napalm, gasoline mixed with incendiary jelly, 1,700 tons, dropped on little houses made of wood and paper. The Japanese are victims of their fanatical military leaders, who plunged them into this inferno and who wanted to pursue the war, in spite of the 80,000 victims and the 1 million homeless from this air raid over Tokyo.